Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. Welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network on this Tuesday. As you listen to us on one of your great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and also streaming live on YouTube. Can you believe that we're 13 weeks into the NFL season? Week 14 right around the corner. Let's go out to the guest line right now. He is the co-host of Scoop City with The Athletic. He's also an NFL insider for Bleacher Report. And that is our pal, James Palmer, who, by the way, let me be respectful here because I know he's forgot this feeling. The last 4 years, it did not go his way. He would come on this show. He would take his lumps. He would cry about it and do all that stuff. But his Ohio State Buckeyes finally decided to have a pulse once again and finally decided to be a legitimate college football program, and they defeated the Michigan Wolverines, even though they just won the national championship last year. So, this is a long-winded way of me saying congratulations, James Palmer.
Well, that was big of you, Zach. That was very big of you. I appreciate it. It was a strange 4 years. A natty in there made it feel a little bit better. But, you know, during my almost a decade in college at Ohio State, I guess I was in no hurry to leave. I didn't really experience any of these losses. So it's been different. But this is an interesting team we have here in Columbus. This is a special group.
Your yearbook back then for college was in black and white. Was that correct or no?
My first year of school was Tressel's first year.
Okay.
So when they won the national championship, that was my sophomore year with Maurice Clarett and those guys. So, my last game ever as a student was, I mean, we've had like 1,000 game of the centuries, I feel like, you know, in college football. They always rename it every year. But it was when Ohio State, Michigan were 1-2 with Troy Smith at the Horseshoe. That was my last game as a student. Then we went and got mopped, I think, in the national championship by Florida.
James Palmer here with us. Alrighty, so last night, let's start with Jackson Dart. He's got to learn how to go down or go out of bounds or slide. I didn't think it was a dirty hit last night. It's usually something that we don't see anymore in the NFL, but I thought the officials were right to not throw the flag. Do you think Jackson Dart will actually learn from last night, or is he just going to brush it off and say, this is who I am?
Well, this is who I am is how he doubled down on it, Zach, after the game. I mean, and he was emphatic about it, saying, we're not playing soccer. This is how I play. If you've seen any point of my career, this is how I'm going to play the game. My argument to that would be this. I've covered this league for a long time. These are different players than you've ever played against, different human beings than you've ever played against. These are guys that are 300 pounds and running sub four sevens. Like it's a different group that's out there, and you are more valuable now in your playing career than you've ever been in terms of jobs, a franchise, how a team is built, all of those things. A franchise quarterback is a rare thing to be named, and you should take that into account by seeing how some of these other guys play. I get it. There's some unicorns out there right now in terms of their size and their ability, whether it's Josh Allen, whether it's Lamar Jackson. Those two jump out at you right away. Lamar's struggling with injuries right now, and so this is a different league. Staying on the field is a huge part of that. He could have run out of bounds a half a yard sooner or a yard sooner and been exactly fine. I get what you're doing, and I know what you want to do for your locker room, but at the same time, there is so much more to being on the field as a franchise quarterback. They have to get whatever the new coaching staff comes in, whoever that is. I don't think it's going to be Mike Kafka now, is going to have to preach that loud and clear to Jackson Dart.
And it could change real quickly in this league. Like, Dart has done some good things. Drake May did some good things last year. Caleb Williams did some good things last year. You pair up Ben Johnson with Caleb Williams, boom, they take off. Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels with Drake May, boom, they take off. When you look at this Giants coaching search, who are some of the names that you think that they could be interested in?
Yeah, I had heard that they were going to cast a wide net initially, and they have plenty of time. I think time was on their side in essence. I know they wanted to take a little bit of a look at Kafka. I think that's usually what happens when you part ways during the season as well, as you get a chance to look at somebody internally that you do want to take a little deeper look at. I think they're going to have their pick. I don't think this is going to be, and this could all change. I mean, we could get into it a little bit, but this might be on the lighter side. We usually average around 5 to 6 a year. This might be under that. And I think they could have their pick of the litter, in all honesty. If Mike Tomlin becomes available, I think you jump at it. If Matt LaFleur becomes available, I think you jump at it. I don't think Matt becomes available, but they didn't sign a contract extension before this season started. They wanted to take a look at how this season went. The expectations are through the roof in Green Bay. That's one I would keep an eye on. I think he's a great coach. I think they think he's a great coach. But those names where it just might be time or the situation might give them the ability to look at somebody that they didn't think they'd have the opportunity to look at. I think Jeff Hafley, Steve Spagnuolo, I think Ty's back there. I know people mentioned Lou Anarumo. I know that the Giants are big on relationships, big on knowing the region, big on knowing the area. But at the same time, this is a really big hire. I don't think you want to limit yourself in anything like I just mentioned, Zach, because you have a star wide receiver on a rookie contract. You have a star quarterback on a rookie contract, running back, defensive line. I know you're looking for offensive line and corner, and I think that's the NFL is looking for those positions regularly. But you have a lot of building blocks and pieces in place. I do think they haven't come anywhere near where they're looking. I think the college ranks has kind of come and went in anybody's mind in the league right now. But I think you wait and see if one of these big dogs that might become available. Who knows? And you see if you can land one of those guys.
Is there a chance that Tomlin becomes available this offseason?
You know, I think it's like an inappropriate conversation to have each and every offseason because of the type of coach he is. But this offseason, this end of the year and heading into the offseason feels a little bit different, doesn't it? It feels a little bit different than it has in years past for a few reasons. One, they went all in this year. I mean, they really did in terms of the veterans. I mean, they just parted ways with Darius Slay. That was another veteran that they went in, and they wanted to kind of play a role, and they got older, and they have the most expensive defense that is not playing well. This Aaron Rodgers experiment is not, this back half of the year has been much different than the first half of the year, where they were just living by this quick passing game that was somewhat effective because they were getting the ball out of Aaron's hands very quickly. Sometimes it is just time. I mean, the comparison that everybody makes is Andy Reid. Now, that team bottomed out his last year in Philadelphia, and there was plenty of off-the-field stuff that was going on with Andy and his family, obviously. And you know, that was a situation that actually worked out for both sides. Philly's won 2 Super Bowls. Andy Reid's had unbelievable success in Kansas City. Sometimes the message does wear thin in this particular spot that you're in. I think he would be very successful wherever he ended up going. He kind of does look, just my personal opinion, tired. Like, he looks a little worn out, and I'm curious if that's the case. And sometimes it is time, and it's nothing that the coach did wrong. But this could be eventually. It has to at some point, and this year feels different than years past for sure.
Yeah, and I just don't expect it because I feel like we've talked about this for the last 3 to 5 years, and the Rooney family just doesn't change coaches. But with that being said, James Palmer, you know, the Andy Reid comparison, I've talked about that before. But this idea that the Steelers can't move off of Mike Tomlin to me is ludicrous. Like, he's the head coach of the Steelers. They haven't won a playoff game since January of 2017. Other franchises would be thrilled getting to the playoffs every year and going out in the wild card round. But this is an organization that's tied for the most Super Bowls of all time. Like, if the Patriots could get rid of Bill Belichick eventually, the Steelers could get rid of Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, and there's similar issues that, I mean, I was at their playoff game against Baltimore this past year, and you saw the way the defense fell apart the last half of the season last year. They kind of thought it was Minka Fitzpatrick in the middle of the defense, and that was slowing him down, and he had gotten older. Will they move on from him? And a lot of the issues that they had were getting masked by turnovers. That happens a lot of times with defenses that are struggling. You get saved by a handful of turnovers, and you think you're doing all right. Like, it was interesting to me to where, like, the group is relatively the same in some aspects, and it hasn't, it's only gotten older, and they've re-upped with TJ Watt, and they've re-upped with other guys, and Cam Hayward wants to, you know, a new contract, and it's kind of like, I thought we fixed some stuff, and some things didn't really get fixed this offseason outside of bringing in the quarterback, the 41-year-old quarterback that you were waiting on.
Is there any chance that Bill Belichick is the next head football coach of the Giants?
I don't think so. I really don't. I haven't heard anything either way. I don't see the NFL being entirely interested in Bill Belichick right now. I really don't. The last opportunity he had in Atlanta, my understanding, that blew up in unbelievable fashion at the 11th hour. And I think the rest of the league knows that. And the rest of the league knows what Bill would be bringing with him. And it is just a wild turn of events that have transpired since his departure in New England into where we are now, that the perception of one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest coach in modern history, is a person that NFL teams are not interested in right now. And I think when you look at where we're at, and you look at what's happened, you mentioned Ben Johnson and what he does with Caleb Williams right away. And you look at what Mike Vrabel's done, and, you know, Sean Payton in the quick time, and he's a little bit older. I think there's a little bit of a turn here that's happened in the NFL. And I don't think Bill Belichick's really a part of it.
You know, I think right now you need a player's coach who's not a doormat, like a Dan Campbell, a Mike Vrabel. You know, I didn't love him in the beginning, but even a guy like a Ben Johnson, and I say this as a Patriot fan, right? I love Bill Belichick. I would die for Bill Belichick, you know, in a hyperbolic sense. But with that being said, I see Mike Vrabel coming, who's aggressive. He will go for it on fourth down. You know, I know Bill had fourth and two back in the day, but most of the time, if it's fourth down in midfield, Bill Belichick was punting. It's like the NFL game, I just don't think is made for Belichick anymore. And I think he would have done a good job in Atlanta, you know, in terms of with the talent that they had. The Patriots at the end, they basically had no talent. They still made the playoffs that one year with Mac Jones. But how it ended in New England, where he had Joe Judge and Matt Patricia around Mac Jones trying to develop him, that was sloppy and that was really ugly.
Yeah, and it has to be, in today's NFL, we're seeing a lot of these so-called arranged marriages, Zach, honestly, that are working out. And I don't know if Bill wants to be a part of one of those. I don't know if Bill wants to have a situation where the relationship has a lot of power that can sway both ways a little bit. I mean, you look at Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, and it's working. You look at Mike Vrabel and Elliott Wolf. I think some people were curious if that would work, and it has. There were rumors in the early days. I mean, I live here in Denver that, you know that Sean Payton's going to push George Payton out of the building. No, like that relationship has grown to be very, very good. And George is a great evaluator of talent and putting a team together. And he knows what Sean is looking for. And they're working really, really well together. Those things I bring up, I don't see Bill working in that type of environment the way that these guys have and the way that they've made it work, which is kind of a little bit more of the new NFL.
Yeah, it's a big reason why I think he didn't get the job in Atlanta, because guys like McKay and Fontenot got in the ear of the owner because they were afraid they were going to lose their job after a year. James Palmer here with us. So talking about that, you know, Joe Shane, I know they're kicking the can down the road, but he's still the GM. Do you anticipate that he's going to be able to pick the next head football coach of the Giants and he'll be actually back next year?
This is a fascinating situation. And I equate it to the Jacksonville Jaguars from a season ago. And you look at the appeal of a job. And if you want, and I think you have, and we went over it just now, the type of roster that you have and the minimal holes, and you have a quarterback on a rookie contract, this is very appealing to a lot of your top candidates. But what happened in Jacksonville? They had a very appealing situation down there. And there were people I talked to around the league that were going, well, Trent Baalke remaining in the conversation has changed my perception or changed my client's perception of how he wants to approach that Jacksonville job. It just feels different. Well, Jacksonville got a kind of a whiff of that. Liam Cohen kind of becomes their top candidate. And what ends up happening? Trent Baalke's out, and they end up bringing in James Gladstone, and they end up bringing in Liam Cohen, and there it is. So them saying he's a part of the search is different than leading the search. I think being involved is something that is, of course, there right now. But if a candidate that you, as the ownership group, that let's be clear, is clearly running it and should be, fall in love with a candidate, and that's a deal breaker, that's a difficult conversation to have, but it's one that you're going to really have because you feel like you're in a pretty good spot as an organization. It happened in Jacksonville last year, just a year ago. Do I think Joe Shane and Trent Baalke are apples and oranges? Certainly. But at the same time, you can't discredit what we just watched happen. And they ended up getting the guy that they wanted that probably wasn't in the running there when Trent was still in the mix.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you here, James Palmer. Freeman. You know, is that a name that could be a mix in this head coaching cycle? Because the other day when I was thinking about who could replace Tomlin with the Steelers, I just went to the name Marcus Freeman, who I don't think is leaving Notre Dame unless if somehow Ohio State opens up or he wants to just go to the NFL.
Whoa, Zach. Whoa.
Well, if Ryan Day wants to go to the NFL, you know, that would be a good hire.
It would be, yeah. He's been in the league.
I'm trying to help you here. Used to this. I'm trying to help you. I'm being nice.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think he's a name that the teams have certainly been interested in the past. I know that for sure. He's a name that teams have done their work on. You should see the binders that teams put together on these potential candidates, the background that they put in, and the amount of hours and time and man hours and labor they put in to these certain candidates. I think Marcus has had a lot of work done on him at the NFL level, certainly. And if he were to put it out there that he's relatively available, I think the increased interest would happen. I don't think we're there right now. And that's why I think this is like the background that a lot of these teams do. And they do a lot of it. And a lot of it has been done on Marcus. But until there's a different feeling about his situation, I don't think the league takes it much further other than just kind of keeping an eye on him.
How far are you willing to go with the Bears and the Pats right now for this year?
Yeah, I think New England's a little bit more real than Chicago is. And that's solely because of the quarterback play. I mean, Drake May has been outstanding. I think the three best players at that position this year right now are probably him, Stafford, and Dak. I think Dak deserves a little more credit for the way he's playing down there. And so quarterback play goes a really long way. They still can't run the ball real well. And that's a bit of an issue up there in New England. But you see the way these guys were flying around in that game. And it wasn't even close. I mean, it was a Mike Vrabel team. I think we've seen how quickly he's put his imprint on it. I'm fascinated to see what 2026 is like. They were paying like Zach, like a suck tax in free agency, right? Trying to get guys to come up there. And now in 1 year, it's going to be reversed. We got a quarterback on a rookie contract. We got Mike Vrabel's culture. Like, I think guys are going to be pounding the door down to go up into New England. And so I think it's just been an unbelievable turnaround. I trust them a little bit further because I think they also have a more realistic chance of the number one seed. And the number one seed now in today's playoffs is everything. You're the only team with a bye, and you play at home, and somebody's going to have to go to Foxborough and play there, and your coach knows what it's like to win in Foxborough in the postseason. I think that's huge. What Ben Johnson has done is honestly blown me away this year in Chicago. Like, the way after the bye week happened, and my understanding was that's what he preached the entire week. We're going to bring in the run game that I know so well, and that's what I did so well in Detroit, and we're going to change what we're doing as a running team. That really happened in all the work they did during the bye week, and now you got two guys that are running the football brilliantly. The offensive line and the run scheme is outstanding, but you have a quarterback completing 58% of his passes. I mean, I know Caleb Williams still is making some throws. I think they're doing a similar... I'll make this comparison, honestly. I think what he's doing is very similar to what Matt LaFleur did with the first 2 years that Jordan Love was a starter. And that is, I'm not putting the gloves on you, man. I'm taking the white gloves off, and we're going to throw you out there. We're going to have to do a lot of things. We could be relying on the RPO stuff and putting Caleb Williams in the gun right now, but he's not. He's making him play quarterback, and he's making him do it as quickly as possible. So now in year three, you look at Jordan Love in the system, and I think he's on the precipice of making that leap into the elite group, and it's because of what Matt LaFleur did the first 2 years. I think Ben Johnson's doing something very similar and forcing Caleb to play quarterback. It's all not perfect, but he's not turning the ball over, and man, he's not getting sacked. So there's been growth and there's been change. And that defense is really, let's be honest, relying on a lot of turnovers. I think they've had one win this season out of their nine where they didn't get multiple turnovers. The rest of them are two, multiple games of four. And so I think that masks a little things. But I love what Chicago's done. I can't wait to see this game against Green Bay. But I would take New England out of those two.
When you look at the Chiefs and the Lions, James Palmer, if you predicted that as the Super Bowl before the start of the season, I would say, yeah, I could definitely see that sign up. Now it looks like both these teams are gonna miss the playoffs. Do you think both these teams are going to be on the outside looking in a few weeks?
It's so hard to say that Patrick Mahomes would miss the playoffs, right? But I essentially have to go 5-for-5. Like, they have, it's a win and get in each and every week. And I don't think anybody, I just did a thing on The Athletic for this, like, would want to play Houston right now. With that defense. Not with that defense at all.
And the quarterback I don't really trust right now, but that defensive line, or you know, the front seven with Anderson and Danielle Hunter, they could definitely win a wild card round game, no doubt about it.
They certainly could. If you remember how banged up they were, and I was at this game, how banged up they were at Arrowhead in the postseason a year ago, and they took that game into the fourth quarter. And they had no players. And so it's not just the defensive front either. You go look at Lassiter and Stingley at the corners. I think Bullock is one of the best long-range safeties in this league right now already. They have pieces all over that defense, and you have a banged-up offensive line in Kansas City. I think this is a really, really tough game for him. And Nick Caley has found his groove a little bit, I'm told, over the last couple of weeks, running six offensive linemen a little bit more than, they did during the season. A little bit more, almost more than anybody else right now, to protect the quarterback, run the football better. They're finding their footing. If they can be decent as an offense, they still have players, Nico Collins, those guys, and you're not going to want to play them. And now Kansas City has to play them now. I believe their chances drop to 12%, the Chiefs, if they lose this game in terms of our prediction metrics over at The Athletic. And so that's just staggering. You wouldn't think that would be the case. But what I think has happened in Kansas City, honestly, is this. We used to see that defense come up with game-changing plays in the biggest moments. They'd close games out. And I don't think people are paying attention enough to, Chris Jones is exhausted, man. He's never played this many snaps. He's 31 years old. They're not as deep up front. They can't keep him fresh to go out and make plays. I think he's still playing really well and at a high level, but can he make those impact plays up front, Kyle Loftus and that group? It's just a little bit different there. And so, the one-score game pendulum has swung back out of their favor after it was so unbelievable a year ago. And I can see them not being the same team that we've seen these years. I think Mahomes is trying to will it to happen, but it just might be too little too late. And with the Lions, I think this is just a massive game against Dallas because you're probably going to be without Amon-Ra St. Brown. Most likely hasn't been ruled out, but hasn't practiced yet this week. And you saw what the Packers did when they became kind of one-dimensional, going, well, we don't have to worry about no Laporta, no St. Brown. Let's just bottle up Jahmyr Gibbs. And he gets, 20 carries for 68 yards. It's a little bit different in Detroit right now. It certainly is. And, man, watch out for Dallas. They could win all three of these games. If you would have told me 12 days ago, Zach, that they were going to beat both teams that were in the Super Bowl and the Lions in 12 days, oh, my goodness.
Last thing I'll ask you, James Palmer, because all four of these quarterbacks could go either way, and I know Herbert's not healthy, but between Stroud, Herbert, Love, and Goff, who's the quarterback the rest of the way for this season that you have the most confidence in?
Regular season, I'll say Love. If you go and look at what he's done week 12 and beyond since 2023 to now, which is from his first year as a starter to now, he's got 29 touchdowns and one interception. That's best in the league. He's outstanding at this point in the regular season. Now, it didn't transpire, in the post, he had some other issues. I would say I'd have the most trust in Love, but the problem is with that offense, everybody plays him because he's so aggressive and they want to get downfield, plays them so deep. Tucker Kraft was everything to that offense.
Yeah.
Everything to that offense. He was the guy that was underneath, get them yards after the catch, kind of break defenses out of playing a certain way, and they've yet to find that guy that can go and help him. But you look at Herbert, he's got no tackles. CJ's been kind of up and down. And Goff, most people would maybe say that in this answer because you've seen Goff's consistency at such a high level over the last couple of years. But that group just doesn't seem the same. The interior of the offensive line isn't the same. And I think that's changed the course of what's kind of transpired for him. And I think people were excited to see Dan take over play calling, but losing coordinators over and over again is a tough thing to go through. They're going through it now for the first time, losing both. Talk to Philly, who does it apparently every year, it seems like. And it just is really, really difficult. So I think I'd really give it to Love right now. I think he's poised to make that next step. But, man, I love Herbert so much. I want to see him play against Philly. But that offensive line, it's just been so tough for him with the injuries. But, man, is there anybody else you'd enjoy watching play? More than Justin Herbert go out there and just be Hercules, essentially, at times, and just, I don't feel pain. I don't know if he's Deadpool. I don't know what it is, but he's unbelievable.
He's James Palmer. Does a great job. Scoop City with The Athletic, also covering the NFL for Bleacher Report here with us at the Zach Gelb Show. James, appreciate it as always. Thank you.
No problem. OH, buddy.
Ugh, N-O. All right, there he is, James Palmer from obviously Bleacher Report and The Athletic joining us on the Zach Gelb Show. We'll take a time out and be back after these short messages. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Appreciate James Palmer jumping on board with us. We'll do overreaction, proper reaction coming up in 10 to 15 minutes from now. We will talk a little college football playoff picture right at the top of the hour at 5 p.m. Eastern time as well. But around the league right now, 13 weeks in, there's a lot of pressure on quarterbacks, especially with how open the NFL is. Let's skip around the room. We will give two quarterbacks each. Let's go one for now. Just a quarterback with pressure on him the rest of the way. Stu, let me start it off with you.
All right, I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence as my first quarterback. Obviously, he came in as, you know, one of the most talented quarterbacks to ever come into the league. First overall pick, had that playoff run early on in his career. It was kind of down since then, but this year, after kind of a slow start to the season, they've turned things around very nicely. Now 8-4, first in the AFC South. It's a very winnable division. So I think going forward, I think Lawrence needs to show us a lot the rest of the year.
Samter?
I'm going Jared Goff. After starting 4-1, the Lions, who had all those Super Bowl expectations, they've gone 3-4, lost 4 out of the last 7. They are out of the playoffs right now after being the number one seed last year and making the run to the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. They're going nowhere but backwards. And with all this talk about Jared Goff and that offense and that team, they lose Ben Johnson, they lose Aaron Glenn, and now they might miss the playoffs. And so there's a lot of pressure on Jared Goff.
I'm going to go with Justin Herbert. You know, this guy's a really good quarterback. But with Jim Harbaugh, right, he had all those excuses with Brandon Staley, and I think they were valid. And they blew that playoff game, which I still can't believe that they did so in Duval. But with Jim Harbaugh last year, they made the playoffs. He had a stinker in the postseason up against the Texans. And I know he just had hand surgery on his non-throwing hand. We'll see if he actually plays. I know they're saying he's day-to-day, and they think he is going to play, or they're hopeful that he's going to play. They're optimistic he's going to play up against the Eagles. I would still be shocked with what he's been through, and he's your franchise quarterback and missing both your tackles if he does so. But it's been a rotating door at the running back position this year with all the injuries, with Najee Harris, Amarian Hampton. I know Kamani Vidal had a really good game the other game. Ladd McConkey is a good wide receiver, but they don't have a lot of elite weapons around him. But all that being said, though, he's your franchise quarterback, and he's got to go win a playoff game this year. And I think there's a ton of pressure, even with all the injuries, to himself included, even with what they've lost this year, not only to make the playoffs, but then in a year where the AFC is so wide open, at least bare minimum, win a playoff game. So I'm going to go Justin Herbert. Stu, quarterback number two.
Okay, quarterback number two, I'm going to go with Jordan Love of the Packers. I think having them an 8-3-1 on the year, he's someone, again, that you haven't really seen a lot from in the postseason. So the fact that he has the Packers at this stage, obviously they paid Josh Jacobs last offseason, two offseasons ago. They used the first-round pick on the wide receiver Golden. I just think he needs to show that he can not only get the team into the playoffs, especially with the Lions a little down this year. I think he needs to go in and win a playoff game. So I think a lot of attention is going to be on Jordan Love the rest of the year.
Samter?
I'm going to go with Daniel Jones. I mean, they started
It's a great
season,
one.
Yeah, they started it's a great 7-1. They were rolling, the best team in the AFC, the best team maybe even in the NFL. They've lost 3 of 4. That high-flying offense, 20 points, 31 points, 20 points, 16 points. So outside of that win against the Falcons, the offense isn't rolling the way they used to. Jonathan Taylor isn't dominating. And I guess obviously if Jonathan Taylor isn't going that way, then obviously, you know, Daniel Jones is not going to get there. A lot of pressure. Also, not just pressure to win and pressure to be, you know, to stay in the playoffs, but like from a contractual standpoint, if he wants money, he's going to have to continue performing because there's all that thought. Oh, give him the bag. They've turned it around for Daniel Jones. Now maybe not. Maybe he's back to being, you know, Danny Dimes and not Indiana Jones.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point because who would have thought going into the year we would have a legitimate conversation about playoff pressure with Daniel Jones? And they still have to make the postseason, but with the way that it started off to then what has transpired the last few weeks, he's playing for his next contract. And hey, his next contract could be, a Sam Darnold or a Baker Mayfield type of scenario where it's 3 years, $100 million. You know, everyone listening, including yours truly, would love to have a 3-year contract for $100 million. Heck, I'd love to have a 3-year contract for $5 million, if I'm just being honest with you. But with that being said, we had Jordan Schultz on, 2.5 weeks ago? At most, two and a half weeks ago, and he was saying that he's probably going to get a $45 to $50 million contract this offseason. So Daniel Jones had a good start, but now it's going to be, how do you finish? Because you remember when Cliff Kingsbury was in Arizona for all those years, and he would get these off to these incredible starts, but then down the stretch, they would be terrible. And Daniel Jones right now, he's kind of starting to look like there's signs of it. The Cliff Kingsbury version in quarterback form, where he was so good to start, and now down the stretch, it's getting ugly. But there's still time to turn that narrative around. My quarterback's going to be C.J. Stroud, my final one. The Texans, when he got hurt, they were sitting there at 3-4. Then Davis Mills comes in, and Davis Mills lost the game to the Broncos. But then they beat the Jaguars, Tennessee, and Buffalo. Now, he came back up against the Colts, and they got the victory. But with that being said, and also to be fair, Stroud got hurt in that Broncos game. So Davis Mills, as the games that he started, he did not lose a single game. And Stroud comes back, he gets the win, but it was really a defensive performance. That defense is playing at a high level. But with that being said, these final five games of the season, with a defense like this, Stroud's got to get it going. Because his first year, he was incredible. Then his second year, he regressed, but they still won a playoff game. Now he's been in and out of the lineup. This is going to be something for C.J. Stroud just to monitor down the stretch. Now, I just got a text message, and that's why I'm stalling there a little bit. I don't know if you could pick up with it on the radio. I just want to see here. Yeah, we got breaking news in college football. Kalani Sitake has begun to inform people, let me just make sure that this is legit, that he intends to stay at the school. BYU is in the process of putting together a lucrative contract to keep him. He's been one of the main targets at Penn State, which he informed of his decision today. So, wow. You know, I understand people could question the fit of Kalani Sitake at BYU. Totally get it. Right? I mean, at Penn State, totally would get it. Now, you could have given me 15 guesses on who would have got the Penn State job. Nothing against Kalani Sitake. I happen to think he's a really good coach. But I would not have anticipated that one. Now, where the heck does Pat Kraft go? Because this was clearly your target. You got to find a coach in the next 48 hours. You know, I know maybe it's someone playing in conference championship weekend, or you're waiting to see the results of that. You know, there's some smoke out there with Kalen DeBoer. I don't see Kalen DeBoer taking the Penn State job. I don't. But in these next 48 hours, you got to know what you're doing. Because the longer and longer this goes, man, Penn State just looks lost right now. So I'm going to wait until we get the name on who's going to be the coach. But the fact this leaked out and he's going to stay when they thought they had a deal done, if that's true, whew, it's ugly for the Nittany Lions. So we made the right decision to get rid of James Franklin. But now who are you bringing in to replace him? We'll do overreaction, proper reaction next. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network update time. Here's Zach.
Another football week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Help! Help! Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying?
No. And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
Alrighty, overreaction, proper reaction time. What do we got cooking?
All right, so during last night's loss to the Patriots, the Giants benched number 3 overall pick Abdul Carter to start the game for being late to a team meeting. It was the second time in 3 weeks that the team sat Carter for disciplinary reasons. And although Carter got a sack last night, he has just 1.5 total sacks so far on the season. After the game, Carter didn't seem to want to discuss the issue.
Happens.
What happened?
I ain't gonna get into detail. Like I said, it happened.
Why, Abdul? Like, for
asking the same question, I just answered.
So, overreaction, proper reaction. Carter has been the biggest disappointment of the top 10 picks.
Oh boy. So he was in line to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, even with only having now 1.5 sacks on the season. But with that being said, I thought this guy was going to be a stud. At least he's on the field, though. Kind of. At least for 3 quarters, he's on the field. Travis Hunter is supposed to take this league by storm. And I know Travis Hunter's out for the season, but even before that, it wasn't all that special for Travis Hunter. So the top 10 picks from this past NFL draft were Cam Moore, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Will Campbell, Mason Graham, Ashton Jeanty, Armand Membu, Tedaro McMillan, Kelvin Banks Jr., Colston Loveland. Oh, boy. This is really between Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. And I'm going to say it's an overreaction because I lean that Hunter has been slightly more disappointing because he was supposed to have a Shohei Ohtani impact for this sport.
All right. During the Jaguars' win over the Titans this weekend, Jaguars punter Logan Cook got into a bit of a kerfuffle with the Titans running back Julius Chestnut after a chippy blocks on punts. After the game, Chestnut made an interesting accusation of what the punter said to him.
I don't really know why the punter did that. You know, honestly, I was just trying to play hard, and he came up to me, said he was going to kill me, you know? So I don't know what made him do that.
All right, and then today, Jags coach Liam Cohen, he shrugged off the claim.
One of the Titans players, I guess, after the game said Logan Cook threatened to kill him in one of those altercations there, and that's kind of blown up a little bit. I was just wondering, you know, your thought about whether that might have been across the line or anything, or if that's something, you know, that just happens during games.
Yeah, I've probably heard that said, like, 100 times. You know, from players and games, so whatever.
All right, so overreaction, proper reaction. Football player saying, quote, I'll kill you, end quote, during a game is totally fine.
I'm actually going to say proper reaction. If he said I was going to kill your family, I think that crosses a line. But just saying about the individual that you're going up against in the sport of football, just, hey, I'm going to kill you, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Next one.
All right, the Chargers beat the Raiders on Sunday to improve to 8-4 on the season.
Good. That was a punter bitching about that?
Yeah.
That makes sense, right?
Well, no. It was a running back bitching about it, but the punter who said it.
Oh, it was the punter who said it. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by the punter then.
Yeah, the punter went after the special teams running back.
I don't know. The punter had that dog in him, if I'm just being honest. By the way, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage, no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. So I apologize to the punting community. Go ahead.
All right. So the Chargers now 8-4, fifth in the AFC. However, during the game on Sunday, Justin Herbert suffered an injury to his non-throwing hand and had surgery yesterday, leaving his status for this week's game against the Eagles in doubt. As we know, the team already lost both starting tackles for the season, and they have been without both starting running backs since week 5. Overreaction or proper reaction? Considering the injuries the Chargers have suffered, Jim Harbaugh should win coach of the year for the job he's done.
That's an overreaction. Like, hey, that team's right there for the playoffs. But with that being said, what Mike Vrabel has done is more impressive. What Ben Johnson has done is more impressive. And I would even argue, if it just based off of injuries, maybe even Kyle Shanahan before Jim Harbaugh. I love Jim Harbaugh, but he should win coach of the year for the job that he's done with all these injuries. That's an overreaction.
The Eagles have lost 2 in a row and watched their lead in the NFC East shrink to just 1.5 games over the surging Cowboys. Philly's offense ranks 24th in yards and 19th in points and haven't scored over 21 points in the past 4 weeks. Well, fans are not happy, and some took action.
Oh, yeah, this is crazy.
Egging the house of offensive coordinator Kevin Petullo. Overreaction or proper reaction? As OC, Petullo is the most to blame for the Eagles' offensive woes.
I'm going to go overreaction, and I think it's more so the problem inside the locker room. Like, I'm not sitting here and saying Kevin Petullo is this brilliant offensive mind, but there's something up with Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts have been bitching about it all throughout the course of the season. And the ironic part is they just lost these last two games, where the stats for A.J. Brown have been really damn good. I understand that the coaching hasn't been spectacular, but I'm not going to sit here and say that it's priority number one. I do think that this is on the players and just not coming together as a unit. So I'll go overreaction.
Okay, as mentioned, the Cowboys are red hot, winning 3 straight, including wins over the Eagles and the Chiefs. George Pickens is rolling too, with 24 catches for 380 yards and 2 touchdowns during those 3 games, while CeeDee Lamb has nearly 10 fewer catches with 100 fewer yards, while also making some crucial drops. In fact, Pickens has just 3 drops in 12 games for Dallas, while Lamb has 7 drops in 9 games, the third most in the NFL. Overreaction or proper reaction, George Pickens is the Cowboys' most reliable receiver right now.
For this year?
Yes, right now, this year, yeah.
So CeeDee Lamb is better, but with that being said, when he was hurt, George Pickens took his game to the next level. So I'm going to say proper reaction, even though I think CeeDee Lamb is obviously the better wide receiver. What George Pickens has done this year has been really special, and he took his game to that higher tier when Lamb was out. So it's not just he's playing well because Lamb is on the same receiving unit as he is. So I'm going to say just for this year, proper reaction.
The Jonathan Taylor MVP talk has quieted a bit after back-to-back games under 90 yards and no touchdowns.
You see who the favorite is?
I did not. Who?
Is for MVP
it,
now?
Is it your guy?
So, hey, Sam, do you know who the favorite is for NFL MVP right now?
Let's go with Breece Hall, running back, New York Giants.
Can you stop being a little weasel and just say the right name?
Caleb Williams.
Nope. Come on.
Bo
His name
Nicks?
Rhymes with take.
Oh, Bo Nix.
No, his name rhymes with take.
Oh.
First name.
Trevor Lawrence.
No. Just say the name.
Take?
Yes.
Baker? Is it Bake?
Hey, Baker? Do this. I'm going to spell the name for you. Then you repeat what I'm going to spell. Drake.
Oh, okay. Lamar Jackson.
No. You're a jackass. Drake May. You gotta break your other arm, all right?
Well,
did you see the movie? What was it? Grown Ups, when Buscemi is broke both of his arms and he's holding it up like it's a field goal. That's gonna be Samter by the end of the week. All right, go ahead.
So after his massive 144-yard performance against the Steelers, Bills star James Cook moved just 54 yards behind Jonathan Taylor for the rushing title. Both players are former second-round picks and are both 26 years old. Although JT has been in the league for 2 more years than Cook and has only played a full season once, while Cook has missed just 2 games in his 4 seasons. Overreaction or proper reaction, you'd rather have James Cook for the next 5 years than Jonathan Taylor?
I'm going to go overreaction on that. I know James Cook is playing really damn well, and he's really the only other legitimate threat the Bills have on offense from skill position player-wise. But I'll take Jonathan Taylor on that. So I'll go overreaction. All righty. That will do it for overreaction, proper reaction right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I just put this tweet out, and it has to do with the whole Penn State situation, as Kalani Sitake is now going to stay at BYU. Was the right time to move off of James Franklin, but this is getting ugly. Can Pat Kraft go back to Bob Chesney and reverse course of action on UCLA? Throw an offer to Kenny Dillingham that he can't refuse. Go with Brian Hartline. Does Manny Diaz get back into the mix? Or how about Jeff Brohm? Feels like those could be the names there at Penn State, or at least just be speculated on. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're waiting for the College Football Playoff Ranking Show to come out tonight and what the bracket's going to look like. I'll give you my takes on it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world. there was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.